verses. I'm just going to preach from one place, but I want us to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 3. And I just want to read one verse there. And then if you will, just turn over the book of Genesis chapter 8. And I'm going to start reading from verse 1 down to verse 13. And then I'll just try to leave a little something with you. I was coming over here tonight, and I'm going to try my best to stay with what I feel like God laid on my heart. Sometimes as preachers, I heard a preacher one time say, if we ain't careful, we'll run rabbits. You know, we'll chase dogs or run rabbits, whatever. But one preacher, somebody said something to him, said, you was running rabbits tonight, wasn't he? And he said, yeah, but I caught one, bless God. And sometimes we'll get a thought and you run, and it comes from a lot of studying or other things you study, and things that God's brought to your heart. But I like, you know, if the Lord wants me to go a different direction, I want to go a different direction. But I don't want to just do things to what Jeff wants to do. I want to try to leave thought, Lord, give us. And I was coming over here tonight, and a story came to my mind years ago. And because I didn't feel like there'd be a bunch of people. I feel like this is a good crowd for a New Year's Eve New Year's Day service night, and I think it's really good crowd. A lot of churches will be doing backflips to have this on a Sunday morning or Wednesday night that I know of, and so I'm thankful to have what God gave us. But there was a preacher at a church, and he was waiting for everybody to get there, Brother Mallory, and nobody showed up, and one fella, Daryl's heard this, I don't know how many other people's heard this, one fella got there, and he said, you want to pray, or you just, let's, you know, we pray and we go home. I'll preach. You want me to preach? And he said, well, preach, I ain't too smart. I'm just a farmer. But he said, you know, when I go down there and feed the cows, if just one of them shows up, I still feed him. That's all I know. And he said, all right, sit down. I'll preach to you. And so he sat down. He preached to it. When he got done, he said, that feed you? He said, preacher, I'm just a farmer, just a country boy. He said, when one cow shows up, I don't throw all the feed out. I just feed him, you know. Don't let him know he preached a little bit too much for just one person. So, you know, I don't want to preach to midnight tonight. I don't want to wear you patient. Some of you may have been up late last night and things, and some of you may have even had to work today like me. But I do want to leave a thought with you that I feel like God's laid on their heart tonight. So 2 Chronicles, just stay seated, because I just want to read this one verse, and we're going to go to another place and read tonight. But 2 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 3. And the Bible said, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And what caught my attention when I was looking up today about fresh beginnings and new starts, and how that when you go into a new year and a new month and a new day, this lets me know that if they was repairing the doors to the house of the Lord, and they was reopening them, that there was a time that they was closed, Brother Mal. There was a time that somebody had tore the doors up. I didn't go as far into looking at that, because all I wanted to bring out was this might have been some people's year, Brother E.J., that maybe some things in their life got tore up. I was thinking we had a washing machine go out. I bought another washing machine, and then it went out. And then, so I mean, we just constantly, then we had a refrigerator went out. And so I'm hoping in 2020 with a new washing machine, new dryer, new refrigerator, I'm like, Lord, maybe this is the year of cleaning, not a year of something tearing up. But then I got to thinking about in the book of Genesis, chapter 8, I want to start reading verse 1, where he said, and God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth and the waters of sage, which mean that the waters begin to lower. And the Bible said the fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained, and the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of 150 days, the waters were abated. It was gone away. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made,
And he sent forth the raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. And also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her feet, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand, and he took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came in to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and he sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him anymore. And it came to pass in the 600th and first year, in the first month, in the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark, and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. And then I want to jump over real quick. I know this is a little bit more reading than I normally would do, to chapter 5, the book of Genesis, just right there, maybe one page over the next page, depending on what Bible you've got. And the Bible said, and Lamech lived after he had begat Noah 595 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And what caught my attention was, here in the 13th verse, the Bible said in the 601st year, in the first month of the first day, but Lamech had already lived, the Bible said, 777 years, and so he was already older than what I can understand. I guess when the calendar begins, what I was sort of looking at, that God allowed Adam and Eve and them to have children, and they had children, and somewhere along that time they began to start a calendar, Brother E.J., because Lamech was well over almost 200. I guess Brother Andy, 77 years older than the time that's been recorded here in Noah. But this part I do know. I didn't go back to look all this up in detail, Brother Matt, because all I wanted to do is leave the thought that God had left with me. And this is it. That in the year prior, in the 601st year, if God tried everything up in the first month and the first day of the month, God give them a new start, a fresh beginning. Amen. God wasn't done with mankind. And I got some good news for you tonight. If God's let you live to 2020, He's not through with me preaching. He's not through with you living teaching. He's not ready for you to go to heaven, or you wouldn't be here. So enjoy 2020. Amen. God wants us to live joyfully. Amen. I've thought about it here lately about when he said that when we serve the Lord, to serve Him with gladness. Amen. Being glad we can come to church. Amen. Helping us. I don't know what this year is going to bring, but some people was healthy last year, and something might happen this year where they can't go to church again. It's happened all down through the year of the time. And it could be me. It could be you. Brother Amos wants I'm healthy. I want to go to church and worship and praise God and commit sinners. There's a better way. Amen. Yes, I do. And so God let them have a new beginning. Yes, He did. And what I saw in this was in the year prior to this fresh start, it rained 40 days and 40 nights. Amen. We can go back and somebody tried to add up the days and get an account. And I've gotten real close a few times, but there's so many verses, amen, that you read. You think you just about got it figured out. Amen. When it says they went another 7 days, and they went another 30 days, went another it's a long 8 hours watching somebody else work. I don't know if you've ever had to do that. I've never done that. And I'll look up and watch them, then I read a little bit, and I look up, make sure they're still there, and read a little bit. And I was reading about this fellow that was in a coma, and he was healthy and worked out. Bodybuilder, he used to be a police officer. And Thomas said that his wife was leaving that day, and he was running a little bit of a fever. And he said, I was a little short with her. I said, oh, good night, it's just a fever, honey. Go on and go to work, I'll be fine. You need to go to the doctor. And every man knows how this story goes. Man, I'm fine, don't worry about me. I'm Superman, I'm made of steel. Hey, man, ain't that what every man thinks? Hey, man, well, I'm going to tell you something. If you don't get sick at least one day in 2020, you'll be blessed, amen. We all get sick. And sometimes it's worse than others. His wife went on to work, and brother, now and all of a sudden, he felt something happening in his chest, and felt something on the side of his head, and he started feeling really bad. He sat down, he slumped over, and this story, he said, it was all he could do to get the phone. He called the desk at his wife's work, and she didn't answer the phone. He left a message and said, call me the house. Something's wrong. And by the time she called him, he was laying in the floor and couldn't even move, Brother Andy. And he just gurgled something to her. She said, that's all she heard. And she knew it was him. She called the ambulance, and they carried him to the hospital. Now you hear what I'm about to tell you. They thought he was in a coma. And the whole time he's laying there on this bed, he hears the doctor tell his wife, he's probably only going to live two more days. People in his condition, only 2%. And he said, I kept wanting to speak out and say, I'm here. I hear what you're saying. I'm fine. I don't know what's going on, but I'm doing better than y'all think I am. He said, but they'd say, if you can hear me, I believe it was Mr. Rich or something like that. They blinked the eyes, and he said, I tried as hard as I could. A big man as I was, strong my whole life. And I always took things for granted that I could do it easily. You hear what I'm about to tell you? I know most of us, I can't speak to you, but Jeff Clark takes it for granted that I can get up and walk. And every morning I can talk. I've never struggled to blink an eye. I've lifted anything I wanted to lift for pretty much most of my life. I've been able to eat anything I want to eat and then go against a diet or something. Brother Malik, some people struggle with diabetes and other things. Brother Tony, they have to watch what they eat. And one day I'll probably have something I'll try to start curbing me. A doctor will tell me that I'm too big. But what I'm trying to say is we take for granted the help that God's given us. Amen. He said, for weeks, he said, it really even bothered me. When I asked my wife, he said, I remember several years earlier we had talked about one another not being put on life support. And he said, I remember hearing the doctor say, do you want to put him in life support? And he said, I wanted to scream out and say, yes, put me on life support. He said, but I told her 3 years earlier, and they don't put me on life support. And he said, I heard her in her voice that sounded like she didn't care. That's exactly what I told her to say. She said, well, he didn't want to be put on life support. And he said, I want to get up out of bed and raise up and holler, hey, I can make it. He could just give me a chance. Amen. But he said, she said, I'm not going to make this decision on my own. Let me go ask these girls. Thank you, Lord. For kids that love their mom and daddy. If you got children that love you, whether they're in church or not, if they love you, you're blessed, amen. Amen. And if they're still alive, the Bible says that when the sun be hewed down, if the sin of water, it'll bud. Which means as long as there's life, there's hope, amen. Praise the Lord. You know, this girl said, we're not ready to let Daddy go yet. Let's see how he does the next few days. His wife come back in. He said, I've never been so glad to hear my girls. When my wife come back in and said, wait a minute, my life support, the girls don't want to let him go yet. And they put him on life support. And you know what happened, Brother Reed? Day after day, he got a little better and a little better and a little better. And he said he remembered when he finally, they asked him a question. He said, I struggled, but I blinked my eye. And they said, so you can hear us. And he said, I blinked again. He said a few weeks later, he was able to move his arm. He said, you know how many weeks my nose itched? And I couldn't even tell anybody that the knee be stretched. He said, after about 2 months, he said, I was able to reach up and scratch my own nose for the first time in months. Amen. He said, you hear what I'm about to tell you? Finally got completely back. Learned to walk again, eat again, talk again. You know what he does now? He's a stay-at-home dad with the kids. Because of his health, but he can still function. And he stays there with the kids. And you know what he said, Brother E.J.? He said, I'm just glad to be alive, amen. He said, I enjoy getting up every morning and watching the children, amen. Now, most men, they wouldn't consider that to be a blessing right now. They think if we can't get up, strap a man, work, take care of the family, then we're not doing our duty. Let me just tell you something real quick. If God allows something to happen to any of us this year and puts us in that condition, God's able to bring us out of that condition.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. We certainly are.
That's right.
And I told, I've been waiting several, and I'm going to be quiet here in just a second. The Bible said to be content wherewith the Lord puts us. I believe that means with our house, our health, our children, our home. Amen. I'm going to be the first one to tell you, if you're going to be content, if you're going to be happy, if you don't enjoy life on this side of the grave, you're going to have to work at it, because there's a lot of negativity that goes on in our lives and wants to drag us down. I know if pastors get discouraged, church members do. I know when I hear people struggling financially on the job and they making $30 or $40 an hour, there ain't no telling how bad everybody else is struggling making $20 or $15 or $14. And I'm gonna be honest with you, Brother Madison, a few times I thought I was making good money at $23 an hour. I thought that was good money. I still think it's good money. If I get making $23 an hour again, we'll all go buy a cake and celebrate. See, when you don't have $23 an hour, you'll be glad to have it again. When you have it, you think you need more. But I remember several times when I was making $23 an hour, and I'd look at somebody who's making 12 or something, or working at McDonald's, and I'd pull away, and I'd think, I don't see how they make it. I don't see how they can pay their bills. I don't see what keeps them going. Amen. You know what keeps them going? God does. Amen. He certainly does. And so listen to me. The storm come, the rains come, destruction come, death come, all these things happening. Amen. 2019. Amen. But the waters went down. There's a new start. Amen. And God still wants to bless us. Amen. Every parent in here wants the best for your children in 2020. Can you say amen on that? God's thoughts and ways is way higher than ours. And he wants to bless you so much that you can't even understand it. Couldn't even comprehend it. A God that was willing to let his only begotten son die because he loves you so much. What do you think he wants to do for you in 2020? He wants the best for you. He wants the best for your children and your grandchildren. He wants the best for us financially. And I can't speak for nobody else, but I'm going to speak for Jeff Clark right here, and then we'll bring our remarks to close. If sometimes in this year the best don't happen, I had somebody tell me, they was talking to me and said, yeah, but I didn't even really do it. You know, I hear that a lot now. And you're going to hear that. If you're in jail with 500,000 people or 2,000 people, there's going to be people in there that I'm persuaded, wholly persuaded, Brother Matt, that they're completely innocent. I believe that in every jail across this land. But there's some that's guilty too. And they'll talk to him, they'll tell you, but I didn't even do it. I don't get to see this one and I don't get to see that one. And just that quick, God brought a story to my mind. And I said, well, let me tell you something. I said, I don't know about your circumstance, but I know God loved Joseph. Mm-hmm. I know God loved Joseph, and yeah. Joseph was one of the best men in the Bible. Yeah. And I said, God allowed some circumstances happening in Joseph's life, and his brother threw him in a pit, and he wound up not being able to see his dad for years. They were separated. Right. It wasn't even his fault. And I begin to share with him how that sometimes in these circumstances of life, things happen that we can't control. Amen. There'll be something happen in 2020 that you ain't going to be able to control, but I still got good news for you. Nothing will happen in 2020 that God can't get a hold of and do something with it. That's the truth. There ain't a sinner in Cobb County that couldn't walk through the doors and come to the altar that God can't do something with them.
Right.
Not one. There's not a neighbor of any of us in here, no matter what they've done, that couldn't come down here and God couldn't do something. And there's nothing that you're going to face this year that God cannot help us get through this year. And I, even to the point, I thought as I was thinking all positive, I thought, I'm going to just be honest with you, I was coming down the road. There was a lot of things this year that didn't happen too good in our life. But I was thinking about the good. I tried not to focus on a couple things. I thought, well, Lord, you gave me a good job again. Thank you for that. We got benefits again. Ryan got engaged this year. And if time carries is coming, Lord, don't come back, we're going to have a wedding in 2020. Amen.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. For our family, but just as sure as we're going to have a wedding, somebody else is going to have a baby. They're going to have a new addition. Somebody might have another grandchild this year, or your friends or something. You hear what I'm saying? But then some people is going to have a death. Somewhere in this county, or where we live, or in our neighborhoods, or our friends, or somebody we work with, somebody's going to pass away. But I still got good news for you. If your pastor, Jeff Clark, dies in 2020, first of all, I ain't going to die. So let me just go ahead and let you know right real quick that I'm just going to be promoted. I'm never going to die. And secondly, the whole reason I live now is to get to a place called heaven. Amen. And to get there, we got to die. So if you die this year, the end result is you finally get home, baby. Some of us could see heaven in 2020. When I got to thinking about that and got stirred up a little bit, this old song come on my heart in the car. And the next step you take, or the hand you shake could be the hand of the Savior. And the next step you take could be on the streets of purest gold. And your next meal could be the marriage supper. And the next touch you feel, he could be blessing your soul. I'm going to end right here. I'm excited that starting today, I got 365 days that there's a chance God's going to touch me and bless me this year.
Yeah, thank you.
There ain't many days going by God don't bless me when I'm studying, praying, or with help, if you think about it.
That's right.
And so every year at this time, I know somebody went to watch tonight last night and prayed the new year in. But a lot of times we have New Year's resolutions. I quit doing them. Mine never lasts past January 3rd. I say I'm not going to leave past 6 o'clock, and by January the 4th, I'm eating at 11:45 at night, going to bed at midnight, get sick and all that. So I quit doing all that. And then I got where I just begin to pray, and I tell God what I want Him to do in 2020. Then I quit doing that because it don't ever work out that way, because His will's going to be done anyway. You know, the only way you're going to get everything you want this year As if it's God's perfect will that all them things happen. You're so lined up Him, He'll do all that for you. But when we get selfish and say, I'm just going to be honest with you. If it was real nice, I'd say, God, I'd like 10 acres, half of it fence with a barn on there and a house, as cheap as you can give it to me, and I'll fix it. I don't care what shape it's in. But He ain't going to do that. He could, but there's going to have to be a reason. He just don't go around giving land and houses. He wants us to earn it. He wants us to enjoy it. Don't He? So this is what I want us to do today. Instead of coming and asking for this year, let's come and thank Him for what He did this past year. Think about all the things. I mean, last year's gone. It's gone. And we got a whole new year this year. We know God's going to be good to us. He's already been good to us. Already blessed to be here tonight. But I want to thank Him for what He did this past year. And then I do want to ask Him for a couple of things that I know is His will. Lord, help me in my studies this year that I can grow more. Help me to be a better pastor. I hope that we see more people saved away and grow in 2020 than we ever have. Do you think that's possible? I do. I do. I really do. I almost feel like the three Hebrew boys did when they went down the fire and said, we know God's able to do it. Whether He does or not, that I don't know. He's able to fill His church up 3 times. We can start having 7 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock service like some of them churches do. Y'all can pick which time you want to come to church. Wouldn't that be something? What time are you going? I'll see you at 9. I'm going 9 this Sunday. Next Sunday I'm going at 7. See you at 7. A lot of people don't like it. As long as you got somebody playing the end, somebody lead the Sunday, and everybody's going to go to meeting. I don't care if we got 4 services a Sunday. I think it'd be good to have that many people, but you couldn't get in the building. And I've seen some churches that are really spiritual. Some of them preach for Brother Cook, but if they haven't even started like that, they got a church now. Like when they built it, it's like a $7 million church. And they run 1,200 people on Sunday morning. You know how they got that big? Before they built that church, and God blessed them. They was having like 3 services every Sunday morning, seeing people saved, people shouting. Now this was way back. This was probably in the 60s, 70s, something like that, when they started a church. But anyway, and it's still going today, strong. And there ain't as many people as they used to be. But I want to say they're still running like 700. So a church like us, if this just run to 300 or 400, we'd have to have 2 services, wouldn't we? And a lot of people have said this. Well, I just wouldn't want to be a member of a big church. Well, you need to rethink that, because when you go to heaven, it's going to be a real big church. Real big. There's not even a record book that can keep up how many people's going to be there. John said, I've seen a number no man could number. Praise the Lord. I tried one time. I want to get ready. Y'all get ready. I'm going to say this in a minute. But I'm real good with a calculator, and I took a calculator, and it said something along the lines that there was like 1,000 angels times 1,000 or something like that. Just the angels, Brother Miller. And I was trying to calculate it in my head. I'm usually good up to about 1,000,000 or 1,000,000,000, and then I get lost. I try to count all the zeros, and I can't do it. So I went and got my calculator, and I punched it in. It blanked out. I just got so excited. I said, there's so many angels, the calculator can't even keep up with it. And John said, he's saying the number, no making number, which means somewhere in that number that John couldn't number, that no man could number, I'm in there. And if you're saved, you're in there. Amen. Ain't that good? Amen. That a calculator can't even calculate me. I'm part of something so big. And that's good news. We're part of a big movement. Listen, it's bigger than Moses' movement. And we're headed to the best place ever known in this world and out of this world. And it's called heaven. And let me tell you what's so good about it. Nobody dies there. No more alarm clocks or sleeping late because nobody's going to need sleep no more. Ain't that good? Listen to this. No misunderstandings. Some of the songs we sing talk about no misunderstandings. You ever said something, somebody took it wrong, got all upset, and I get in the car, I get so scared, I go, I don't even know why I got mad. I didn't even mean it like that. And you try to say something positive, and it goes negative, and I'm just like, I can't wait till we get to heaven. Where everything's understood correctly. And everything's going to be around. And the best part of it all, Satan won't be there. Yeah, yeah. We won't have to fool him no more. Yeah. So let's come tonight and let's think with all this positive. Come on, let's gather around. Normally I say men on this side, ladies on this side, maybe husbands and wives like to pray together. future husbands and wives, or deacons with the preachers, or friends get together. Don't mind who you pray beside. And let's just gather around. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And let's thank Him for what He did this past year. Talk to Him that. When everybody's done praying, whatever God's laid on your heart, then you'll be at liberty to go tonight and just fellowship with one another. And thank Him for this. Thank Him for what He's done for us this past year. And I want to thank Him for what He's done in Welcome Grove. Real quick, I want to say this. Sometimes, even when we go through storms, and a lot of people knows we went through a little bit of a storm this year in 1919, and out of 16 years, or coming up on 16 years, this is the first year we really had a storm like this. Nobody wants storms, but storms usually loosen up old limbs, get us ready for a new day, new budding, new growth. And so let's really pray that God would help us this year to do our part, that the church would grow and see souls saved. That's really what it's all about. More than anything, we'd see souls saved. I'm going to ask Brother Thomas, if he will, tonight, if he'll lead us to the Lord in prayer.